Welcome back to the second hour of Gesundheit with Jacobus. Here again is your host, Jacobus Holloway.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you've had a chance to hear the first hour with my guest, Dr. Gary Stoner. Good morning, Dr. Stoner.
Good morning, Jacobus. Always great to be here. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I think the first hour, I didn't speak maybe loudly enough, or wasn't close, and we had some background noise.
Ticking, I don't know what it was.
Ticking
that's
gone. Kind of influencing. So hopefully this second hour we can be a little bit better understood by your audience here.
Yeah. I hope so too. And but it's the annoying things we deal with on a life program. Right, I guess
that's right.
That's what it is. So we'll handle it as good as we can. Try not to be as distracted, but otherwise, your information has been very, very good. I really appreciate what you said. We talked a lot about inflammation, acute and chronic inflammation, and how that affects the body, and then that inflammation is a direct source of can be a direct source or to feed cancer cells. One thing you just said to me, you would like to really jump onto this immunotherapy. That is the main topic, but we need to understand why we get there. So immune therapy is everything in science has a history. Maybe you can share a little bit of history with us.
Well, the whole concept of immunotherapy as we learn about inflammation, we learned about inflammatory cells and so on, it became more obvious. But back in the 1800s, before they knew much about white blood cells, not Virchow hadn't described all of them at some point.
Yeah.
There was a physician in New York Hospital. His name was Cooley, Dr. Cooley. He was a surgeon, and he did some very interesting experiments. He typically did a lot of head and neck surgery, and find it, he'd remove a tumor and it would come back, and you remove it again and it would come back, and ultimately most of those patients, of course, died. But he found that if he took a very virulent strain of streptococcus and injected it directly into the tumor, that frequently the tumor would liquefy and kind of go away. Not frequently.
Really?
It wouldn't happen
immediately,
but it happened.
Okay.
In some of his patients, and some of them were actually cured. And so nobody at the time really believed him because he didn't, frankly, do a very good job of documenting his work. At least it was thought he didn't.
Huh.
And when he presented things, the percentage of his patients that were actually, quote, cured from this treatment was quite low. But nevertheless, if he hadn't given them the treatment, they probably wouldn't have survived at all.
Everyone would have died.
So he would go to the bacteriological laboratories at the time and ask him for the most virulent strain of this bug that he could get and inject that in. And as I say, occasionally he had cures.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he took a lot of heat during his tenure. And when he passed, it was thought that nobody wanted to really believe any of it because he hadn't really documented.
Yes.
Well, it turned out he did document it, but he never assembled his data into a form that he could make a presentation with it.
I see.
And his daughter, actually, as she was cleaning out his house, after she found these reams, these boxes full of data. With historical perspective
on
all the patients he treated.
So.
And she was then able to quantify the number of patients treated, the number of patients that were cured, and so on, those that weren't. She wrote that document then, wrote a paper presenting his information. And his supposition at that time was that the bacterium was producing something that was killing the tumor cells, the cancer cells. He didn't know anything about the fact that there's bacteria was probably stimulating immune response.
I see.
By white blood cells, which were really responsible for the killing of the tumor cells.
Right.
And of course, we use some of that information today in certain cancer treatments. For example, in bladder cancer, we use an attenuated form of the bacterium that causes tuberculosis.
Huh.
And when that is injected into patients who have bladder cancer, or sometimes after treatment, I think it's usually when they have active disease, what happens is that stimulates the immune response, white blood cells and so forth, to come in then and kill the bladder cancer cells. And so that's an example where that whole sort of treatment is going on. But it's not the bacterium that's killing the cancer cells. It's the bacterium causing a immune response against it that also affects the tumor cells and kills them as well.
So what I'm thinking about then, tell me if I'm wrong, Dr. Stoner, is there is the cancer cell that often the tumor that grows slowly. It's almost fooling the body. It's like slowly sneaking around your house, right? We don't see it. We see some movement, but we don't really pay attention that it is actually growing. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, by injecting this, let's call it a toxin, this disease, this bacteria, the virus, whatever, that comes on so quickly, the immune system jumps on, says, whoa, we got to deal with this. And while it is fighting this injection, it sees the tumors and goes after the tumors as well. Is that kind of a visualization that I have?
That's exactly what happens, yeah.
So the body is getting lazy because it is it's blindsided by something that is growing very slowly until it is too big and then you can't stop it anymore.
Or even if it is growing rapidly,
okay,
you can still get an effect, of course, from treating with immune, by immune cells can come in and still kill those cancer cells.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're getting better at figuring out how that happens and better at designing approaches to kill those cells. And I'll talk about that in a minute.
So when you talk about a tuberculosis is used for bladder cancer, tuberculosis infection can be injected into bladder cancer and we start seeing some results.
Yeah, this is really a killed bacterium. So it's the bacterium that can cause tuberculosis, but you kill it.
You kill it.
But you don't destroy its antigenic nature. So it's still capable of stimulating or immune response.
Oh, wow.
So it's a dead bacteria. But it is still capable, as I say, of stimulating
immune
response.
That's interesting. So a dead bacteria can still have certain antigen effect.
Yeah, it still has antigens from the bacterium that the immune system responds against.
And so Dr. Cooley was the one who kind of experimented with that and started with that.
Yeah, he
documented it, even though his colleagues didn't think he did.
Well, he documented it. They didn't think he did because he didn't do a very good job of data presentation. He gave a lot of anecdotal information without actually showing his slides of actual data.
I see.
So he didn't compile it.
Huh.
And that's why a lot of people didn't necessarily believe it. And it was only when his daughter compiled it and wrote a paper from it that they said, well, gee, he had about 12 or 15% of his treated patients that survived.
Oh, okay.
But that's against the background of almost no survival had they not been treated at all. So, again, he thought that the bacterium was producing some products, some enzymes or whatever, that were killing the cancer cells. He didn't know that what was really operative here was the stimulation of the immune response those bacteria.
I see.
That then would kill the bacteria, but also would also be directed towards the tumor itself.
Right. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very interesting observations. And of course people followed up with that and in the 60s, actually before the 60s, in the early part of the 20th century, people were using viruses to kill cancers and injecting viruses into tumors. There are many different kinds of viruses that were tested, adenovirus, herpes virus, semaphore-like virus.
Really?
And so forth, that had the ability to kill cancer cells, but unfortunately, they usually resulted in other kinds of, either in incomplete cell killing, and so the tumor didn't completely go away.
Okay.
Or alternatively, the virus itself caused infections in the treated patient.
Oh, that is true.
And,
of course.
And led to other problems that resulted ultimately in the government saying that this is not a viable approach.
Okay.
To treat cancer.
Was it similar then with the bacteria that the virus was killed first, and then
The virus was live.
They were live. So the bacteria were killed, and the antigens caused the effect.
Yes.
Oh, I see. But the viruses were still alive.
Yes.
Okay.
They were live viruses.
Hmm.
We had this experience in back in the early 1970s when I was a postdoc at UC San Diego.
Yes.
I was working for a veterinarian who was interested in scours in calves, diarrhea in calves. And so he thought that we might be able to treat that disease with antibodies against the viruses that would cause that.
Yes.
So we isolated we were trying to make antibodies against different bovine viruses in mice. And so you would inject the mice with ascites tumor cells, and you'd then inject the virus, and the ascites would be fluid that was in the peritoneal cavity. You'd collect that, and you'd have rather purified antibody against the specific bovine viruses, and then you could test that to see if it might be effective.
Right.
Turns out that we injected one bovine virus into these mice, and it wiped out all of the ascites cells, did not kill the animal at all.
Wow.
And then we found that this virus would kill human cancer cells in vitro, in cell culture,
right,
but had very little effect on normal cells.
Interesting.
Turns out that...
You mean normal, so healthy cells.
Healthy cells.
Yes.
Turns out that the cancer cells had more sialic acid on their surface membrane, which was the receptor for that virus.
Oh.
So we thought that this might be a viable way for treating cancer with this virus.
Yes.
Because it caused little or no infection of normal human cells, but a number of different human cell cancer cell lines, it would kill those cells.
Yes.
But we tried to get some funding to do that, and the person at the NCI said, well, gee, we've already gone through that process. We've made a decision against it. We wouldn't support it. And so,
you mean they tried it already and they said it didn't work?
No, they didn't try it.
What do you mean we've gone through the process?
We've already tested a number of viruses for their ability to kill human cancers. The results have been negative, and so we don't want to pursue that any further.
Yeah.
I like this virus because in animals, for example, in normal animals, we injected it and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was innocuous, but it was quite effective against tumors. And there was another type of ovine virus that someone in Illinois was working at the same time that was also quite effective against tumors, but neither of those viruses ever went into the human trials.
How interesting. That is a shame.
I've often thought about that, and I had a friend who had cancer, and he wanted me to try this virus on him. And I said, well, this is not approved by the FDA.
Yeah, not legit.
And so it's not legitimate.
Yeah.
But he said, I don't care if it is. I want you to try it.
Wow. Well,
I went back to my laboratory. I left the University of California, and the virus had been frozen back. I went back to try to retrieve some of it, and it was all...
Destroyed.
Destroyed.
So, oh, boy.
Nothing happened.
And when that happens, is there no way to recreate something?
Oh, I suppose...
To recreate a virus?
I suppose you could you could go through the process of taking a number of different. This was bovine enterovirus 261, so it's a 261st isolate of a bovine virus that had this effect. You may never find it again.
Or yeah,
it'll take a long time. So
yeah,
We didn't try that. No.
That's too bad. But it shows that there is such a desire to find something that can at some point help the body fight these types of cells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the virus, of course, was direct cell killing. But yes, the early experiments were with these bacteria that Cooley did. And so this led to the concept of as immune cells were identified, as white blood cells were identified, and they were found to have an effect on tumor cells in culture and so forth, that started the whole area of immunotherapy. So immunotherapy is really a kind of a two-pronged approach, if you will. It's the use of either antibodies to kill tumor cells or the use of white blood cells that are engineered, so to speak, to go in and bind to tumor cells and kill them.
Okay.
So the major ones, of course, being the lymphocytes.
Okay.
And among there's really two classes of lymphocytes that are most effective, the so-called T cells,
yeah,
B lymphocytes, and the natural killer cells, the NK cells.
Right, okay.
These cell types are ones that go in and bind to cancer cells and kill them. So the whole basis of immunotherapy is that cancer cells have on their surface some type of protein or what we call an antigen.
Yes, yes, yes.
That the immune response is developed against.
Yes.
So we take advantage of that in immunotherapy by making antibodies, for example, against that specific molecule on the surface of cancer cells.
Right, so we're trying to be very specific on what we see.
Yes.
But we realize now that there is much larger variety that we were not addressing.
That's right.
Right.
So we can make antibodies that can either bind to the antigen on the surface of the cancer cell, or that actually turn on white blood cells, activate them, if you will, to go against the tumor cells.
Wow! Yeah.
And so the antibody, what happens is when antibodies are directed against a specific site, if you will, on tumor cells or cancer cells, they bind to that site through what's called the FAB fragment of an antibody. So an antibody is Y-shaped.
Okay.
It's like a Y.
Yes.
One piece of it, called the FAC fragment, actually binds to the site on the tumor cell. The other, the FC fragment, binds to white blood cells, lymphocytes. And so it brings the lymphocytes into physical location near the tumor cell. And then the lymphocytes go in and bind to the tumor cell and kill it. So it's antibody-mediated cell killing.
Okay.
And so that's one mechanism by which antibodies can kill tumor cells.
Is that where we want to talk about the dendritic cells?
Dendritic cells.
They're different. Okay,
cells are a little different.
Okay, good. Because I'm thinking about the messenger, yeah, what they do. Yes.
Yes, but
okay.
No. Dendritic cells can present antigen.
Yeah.
That can result in white blood cells or lymphocytes coming and killing tumor cells.
Yes, okay.
They have that capability.
Yeah.
But this is with just antibody itself and binding then to lymphocytes, and then the lymphocytes go ahead and kill the tumor cells.
Right.
So there's another mechanism by which antibodies can do this, and they do this by binding to proteins in the blood that are called complement. There are a number of different complement proteins. And complement proteins have the ability to, I guess, easiest way, to drill holes, if you will, in cell membranes. So they can drill holes in bacterial cell membranes.
Really?
Drill holes into cancer cell membrane and kill the cell.
Yeah.
So these are circulating proteins. I have a friend that actually identified two of them. I don't know how many different complement proteins there are now.
Huh.
But they can be bound up by antibody. Bring the antibody brings the complement. It's bound to a tumor cell. It brings the complement in close association with the tumor cell.
Yeah.
And then the complement actually bores holes in that tumor cell.
And explodes it or something.
And it dies from apoptosis. Or
really?
Cell death. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So antibodies can bring white cells, lymphocytes, in close contact with tumor cells, and then they kill. Or it can bring complement, and then the complement can kill the tumor cell.
So this is something that has been discovered as actually happening all the time. It is just now that we see that it is happening.
Well, so if we have cancer, yeah, it's happening.
It is happening. The body's immune system itself is trying to do that. So with immune therapy, we're trying to enhance that.
That's right.
By giving the body some assistance.
That's right.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to continue with that because this is absolutely fascinating. And Dr. Stoner will also talk about how this can be used indeed for cancer. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Better than pleading the fifth.
Why must I be surrounded by fools?
Becoming a student of the Gesundheit with Jacobus radio show.